or anything like that. So good morning, everyone. I'm going to share my screen. Just in a moment, I'll share some slides. Nope, that's not my slides.
Sorry, Paul, you may have to introduce yourself.
I'll do that, don't worry. I could just share a tab. In which case, I'll just close a couple of things off. Right. Okay. I shall share my screen that way. Okay, and if I go slideshow. Is that coming through okay? My slides? Excellent. Great. Thanks very much. Hi, everyone. My name is Paul Kenns. I'm the overall chair of IGGI, based at the University of York. And what we'd like to do with this session is actually, I've got the first slide wrong. It's actually a double act between myself and Francesca Fofano. And what we thought we'd do is to help you think about how to write the research proposal, actually talk about it from both the two perspectives. So Fran is actually just going into the second year of her PhD. And so she did this process of coming to this talk and writing a proposal, which obviously worked out successfully for her. So what we thought we'd do is we'd basically share her experience or the experience of writing a proposal from her side, and then I'd respond to how that looks to from my side. So hopefully by the end of it, you'll get a sense of what it might look like for you, but actually what's happening on my side and what I'm doing as a typical supervisor when I'm approached about how to write a proposal. And hopefully that'll give you some guidance on what the whole writing process should be about. Okay, so as before, we have... I don't think we'll use the question board. You've got a questions document that Jeremy and Ben have already been using. Please continue to put questions in that. Helen, if you could just put a little sort of page separator and kind of go questions for Paul and Fran a little bit later in the document, then we'll just, if that's okay, Helen. Thank you. So just scroll down that document and drop your things in there rather than try and use a separate technology, which I think will just confuse us. Well, probably confuse me most of all. Okay, so we're going to launch into the process. Fran, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So, you're probably going to have to tell me to change slide. So just go change slide when you're ready.
Can change slide. So first of all, hi. So as Paul mentioned, I'm a PhD student. I'm second year and I'm in York. So my background, just to give a little bit context, is in SCI employee perception mostly. So how everything started. So of course, like I had an initial idea and I was looking for like any PhD that was like game related. And somebody suggested me IGGI. So it was like, okay, that sounds amazing. I want to find somebody to share my idea and see if I can have a PhD there. So just for starts, I had a briefly idea. So I did a previous work during my master that was an adaptive game and game and player perception. In that case, I already have a publication, but it was not a really important one. It was mostly, I felt it was like a good topic for me to continue. And I want to find somebody that I can like work with. So this is the reason why I searched for Paul. And I was really emotional about my idea. So it was like, I really was a little bit scary to share it and change it. So the first thing I did, of course, like Jeremy and Ben was mentioning before, I went to the IGGI website, I searched with everybody that have my same interest. So it was like mostly ACI and like player experience. And then I found Paul and I thought, okay, Paul seems really well fitted for me because he also did immersion. He had like mixed method approach that I really like. And I check everything about Paul from the website on IGGI to the personal profile to the Google Scholar. I want to make sure that I knew who I was talking with. And I also check who was the previous PhD. So I really dig down and I find Alina's that was like really a former student even before IGGI. And she did that same topic as me. So it was like the same kind of like really similar to my research proposal. So it was like, okay, this seems like a good idea to contact Paul. And I also have a chat with her to try to understand what I should read before to contact Paul, how I should like send my email. And then I sent an email and I was like, try to discuss my interests. So which kind of like research I like to do, which kind of like my strong competence. So I prefer qualitative, but I also like quantitative method. My limits. So I don't know how to coding. So that is like a limit for me for my research. And in general, I did an application before IGGI. And I kind of have a panic attack because I try to do everything 1 month. So this time I try to do like 6 months in advance. Next slide.
Okay. So Farah sent me an email with what she just detailed in there about her thoughts and her ideas. And genuinely, as a supervisor, you know, and I think this is true of many of my colleagues, our first thought is this something I can help with? And behind that, there's a basic question, which is it in my area of expertise? So Farah had really carefully done her homework. So she knew she was roughly the right area. She knew I'd taken on PhD students like in her area before. She also knew what kind of work I was doing. And so she was kind of confident in taking this to me. I'm the right sort of person. And I'm also thinking, if you're asked to work with me on IGGI, I am thinking, is this in the scope of IGGI? Is it about intelligent games or games intelligence? I'm a professor of HCI. I will do broader projects. But if we're doing an IGGI project, it's got to be about games. And again, Fra's ideas were clearly central. If they hadn't been, I would have got back to Fra and said, I'm sorry, great idea. It sounds really interesting, but it's not something I can help with. And now that's not just sort of a polite thing. That is actually saying, you know, we have to work together for 3, 4, 5 years, depending on how long your PhD takes. And if I'm not the expert you need, you're going to be so disappointed with me in about 2 years' time. So I have to be really honest about whether or not I feel I can support you going forward. So I will tell you. And ideally, you know, any supervisor will say yes or no, they can or can't take you. But if they can't, they might point you to somebody else they know that can. Just like when somebody asked about narrative there with Jeremy, Jeremy went, yes, there's definitely somebody out there. I haven't got some names off the top of my head, but I'm sure in about 5 minutes' time, he could probably work that out if he's got the time. Okay, so we'll never just kind of go, I can't help you. We will try and come back to you with something. So I'd say to Fran, yep, sure, I'll help you. But what I'm looking at next is, well, is there research here? Okay, obviously, you know, you contacted a supervisor because you're enthusiastic about joining IGGI, about games, about your research topic. But of course, you haven't done research before. So have you got a valid research topic? What I'm really doing when I ask that is that I'm trying to say, well, what's the question underneath what you're asking about? Okay. Because sometimes what people come with is something very specific. Like, I'd really like to see if I can improve this particular game to see if it would make it work better. That's interesting, but it's not research. All you're doing is improving a game. So it's unlikely to be important for the general population. And it's probably a very limited interest. It's just people who like that game can make this game improved. So you don't want something too specific. However, if somebody comes and says, well, it seems to me, as Farah did, if we could do things around adapting games, we could actually have better player experiences. We can improve things generally by adapting something about how games work. So that could be interesting, and it's a type of problem, which is how do we make games better, but how does adaptivity in games lead to better experiences? So there's something going on there which is of general interest, which might be important. But the other thing is, which is important in the question underneath your ideas, is it also important? In other words, could it change the world? And that's, you know, not every PhD will change the world. Lots of PhDs are interesting without necessarily turning the world upside down. But some PhDs are asking about how to, I don't know, games encourage more healthy living, healthier eating. These are the kinds of things games could potentially help with. And it's important because we could actually bring about real behavioral change around this. So whether it's getting people to think more about their use of electricity and gas, or how they live their lives better to take more exercise or to do less sitting down, all of these things which could help them to feel better. Okay. So I'm looking for a question underneath the initial approach, which is this important or interesting? Okay. What we're looking for is what I've called the third bear. Okay. If you know your Goldilocks and the three bears, we don't want a daddy bear problem, which is too general. Okay, so a general question, far too general, would be what makes games immersive? That's just huge. What every game, everywhere, what's immersion and so on. How do I make a human-like non-playing character or a human-like AI opponent? Again, that's just, you know, that's solve generalized AI, okay? It's far too big for a PhD. Or how do games help people to make friends? Which games, which friends, what circumstances, why? It's just really, really complicated, okay? So that's too big, okay? The other alternatives, you go too specific, too narrow. So does changing Monument Valley to include a time limit improve immersion? So I talk about a very specific game, a very specific interaction to improve one single feature. Well, that's just too narrow, okay? That's the mommy bear question. So you really can't, you know, do a whole PhD on just that. You can probably do one or two experiments and you'll know. But also, how interesting is that to improve a game which is now 10 years old? Nearly, something like that. So you need the baby bear question, which is something just right, something in the middle. It's got some generality. It doesn't apply to just one game. It applies to a class of games, but it tries to unpack some aspect of that class of games. So it's not too specific, just looking at one thing about one game, but it's not too general that it's about all games and therefore kind of very hard to capture, okay? So I tend to go back to the student, go, what's the question underneath this? What are you trying to do? What makes it important and what makes it interesting?
Yeah, so I received an email. Actually, I didn't receive the first email. I had to come back and ask Paul, actually, did you have time to read my application? Are you interested? And as Jeremy and Ben was mentioning before, that might happen. And he gave me like all this feedback that was really interesting. At the same time, make me realize how generic was like my topic, because it was about adaptation and player. And it was about how we communicate adaptation to the player, but then was like, which kind of game, more specific. So my first goal was like mostly try to communicate, like see if it was actually a good supervisor that I want to have it. So not just about the proposal, but like, can I reflect with this person? Can I discuss? Can I take his criticism? So we share a lot of email. I can't like at least 20 email. And that for me was like, aside my proposal, like try to understand if it was a person I could work for like 4 years. And it was really difficult for me to understand how politeness work. Also, like, you know, from country to country, depend like how people react. Italian people are really straightforward. They will tell you, no, I don't have time. Thank you. Bye. So a lot of time was like questioning if it's just polite or was like lacking my idea. I think the feedback in general was pretty good, because it was telling me, okay, I like this part, and like give me like questions. So have you think about this and that and that? And of course was thing that was not clear in my proposal and I have to implement. And there was like, for all during the application, and even now, sometimes I doubt about myself, so that will not pass. So you need to do as much homework as possible to make sure that at least you know what you're talking about. So we went through a lot of like topics, because it was like, again, my concept was a little bit broad. So Paul was kind of asked me, okay, which kind of game do you want to do experiment with? Is like a narrative game, is a strategic game, is an adventure game? Because then of course the adaptation will change. How you will change the adaptation? Are you going to look, for example, in change how many events will appear? You will change on like the time that will, in which the player need to do the task. So it was like a bunch of questions. And we went through adaptive video game to accessibility. At a certain point, we touched, can we create an adaptive accessibility feature for a player to change the difficulty of the level? And then we also try to brainstorm which kind of experiment maybe I could do for my PhD. So Paul proposed me also some topic that was not fitting me at all. I remember one about statistic, like how quantitative method sometimes are not truly reliable on predict player behavior. And I'm really, really bad in quantitative. I will never be able even to survive for a couple of months. So I went back and I was like, thank you, but sorry, this topic is definitely not for me. So then we restart to like brainstorm like something that was like more aligned. So don't feel worried to say no to your supervisor. Next slide.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. So yeah, and as Fras said, so we're in a process of dialogue going backwards and forwards with the emails and things. And Fras said she's trying to impress me. But yeah, be very careful about how you're trying to impress somebody. And so what I've done is a kind of parody of this with eschew exogenous complexity. I can't even say it. What actually that really means is keep it simple, okay? Don't go for far too much complexity. What you really want to do is get really clear ideas that are, the ideas themselves are interesting, not the words that you use to do it. So for example, you know, here's a possible title that you might think, oh, I've got to impress Paul with this sort of idea. So I'm going to do a project on elucidating the impediments to absorptive experiences with domestic software systems. And actually all it means is removing the barriers to immersion or engagement in home appliances. Okay. Now, the first one sounds really scientific, but actually it's obscuring what you're really interested in. Or on the facilitation of sociality through ludic experiences, which means making social relationships using games. Okay, so watch for these things, because actually the words sound highfalutin and important, but they're not as impressive as actually having a really interesting conversation about your ideas. Let the ideas be complicated, and don't try and dress it up too fancily. We'll have a much more interesting conversation that way. And it is a dialogue. We were in true dialogue. There was lots, as Farah said, there's lots of emails going backwards and forwards. And part of that will, as we're talking, I'll suggest reading. And, you know, sometimes, I'll suggest, look, you're interested in working with me. Have you read this piece of work by me? But often I'm saying, well, there's these other people doing interesting things over here and over here. Have you had a look at them? Have you thought about them? That's really, you know, quite important. I am trying to say to you, look, do you understand really what the kinds of problems are here? And are you interested in those sorts of problems? As Farah said, some things were interesting, other things less so, okay? And so I'm challenging your ideas and trying to understand if you really, if you're able to engage, and if you're able to develop your ideas through that engagement, okay? I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm trying to see if you can kind of, we can end up having a proper conversation where I'm saying something, you're coming back at me with something interesting, different, sometimes agreeing, sometimes disagreeing. It's fine. Because what I'm really trying to do with this dialogue is to see if I can work with you. I think many supervisors will see it this way, which is you send them some information. They're not just going to say, yes, that's fine, you can apply to work with me, because they may have 10, 15 other people doing the same thing. What they're trying to see is, can they work with you? Can they understand? Can they communicate something to you and you come back with something interesting back towards them? Okay. So that, for me, that sort of process that Fran and I entered was very typical. And actually really important, because even before Farah had got an offer of a place, we somehow started working together. Okay.
Yeah, so it was sending me readings, but of course, like what was Paul was sending me was like mostly one or two. So that was like my starting point to read it even more. So I was trying to keep like reading every week. So even if my proposal was in place, or like even if it was like staying on the same topic, I was like try to include always more literature. And don't think, so my thought was like not to narrow down just on my topic, also because my topic was like not really well explored. So I had to touch a lot of like topics around, and sometimes you need to build the narrative that makes sense. So for example, in that case, a lot of like game design books was helping me. So it was like, okay, I'm missing a lot of information, but I can still like make a narrative structure that makes sense through the literature. And when, for example, I didn't have anything from the literature, I was like, okay, that doesn't exist in literature and not be studied, but this game is using it, or this talk online from game industry that I can use it. So there's a lot of like other material that you can still refer about it. Of course, it will not be your main one. But yeah, so it was like keeping reading like a lot of things related to my topics. And then I was trying to send to Paul, like I found apparently I sent also some like a page with like all the reference that I read, because of course like Paul would not have read it then, but your supervisor must know like most of the papers, so at least you know what you're reading, you know, like if you're like in a good direction. And like all the questions that he was asking me, sometimes it was really hard for myself to see the bigger picture. And I think that makes sense, because you have 4 years to like completely see what we are talking about. So what is important, all the detail, how this will affect it. But it's still like kind of like an exercise that you need to do in order to demonstrate that you can like reflect about the importance of your research, and like, can you do it? Can you envision good research? So when I was like really struggling with something, like, okay, I read this topic, seems fascinating, I don't know how to create like a proper project that makes sense. I was trying to go back to Paul and ask him a little bit more. I was like, okay, I'm a little bit confused here. I'm not really sure. And I was like also searching guidance from him. So I was not expecting to know most of the things, but I was like, tell him like my concern about the topic. Next slide. Yeah, so about the knowledge exchange. So in my case, I knew a little bit some academia people, people that was not completely related with me. So we might have a chat. I might know that they existed. So I never maybe speak with them because of literature, because I know there was like some interesting research center. So it was people in the field. And like mine was like more a proposal on an ideal like exchange or project. And I included some industry that I know might be interested. Also, it's really important to remember that people have a life, like you have a life and your supervisor have a life too. So it was like giving always Paul like 1-2 weeks to reply. If he didn't, I would send an email. But also it was like, because I was working, I was taking one day for me to work on my proposal and one day on the weekend to relax, because it was like, otherwise I will be overwhelmed by everything. Next slide.
I think it moves on to me next. So yeah, and I think that's really important, which is to remember that I know students or applicants rather are busy, and so when I sent an email to Fran, she didn't get back to me. That's fine. That's okay. She was thinking, or she wasn't thinking, but she didn't have time to think. So she was getting back to me when she got it. And quite genuinely, I've had students who come back to me months later because they've started the process very early, and they come back months later going, "Remember me?" And you go, "Well, I do actually, because we have an interesting conversation." So that's fine. And conversely, I get busy just like everybody else does, and I forget to answer emails and I have things. And if you send the more interesting and thoughts you send to me, the more time I have to think about them and the longer I have to take to send an email back to you. So in some sense, the fact you don't get no reply could actually be quite a positive thing, because I'm having to think as opposed to just go, "No, you're wrong." So there we go. So what you're heading towards is the shape of the proposal. And actually, the shape of the proposal reflects the kinds of things we've been talking about. The basic shape is that you have your introduction, and that's where you tell me that you've been reading, leading towards what the important question underneath your research is. What's the real question we've been thinking about in the process? And your reading is just enough to kind of show that that question is meaningful and has an academic place. If you like, one way of saying that is the reading shows that it's interesting and important to the academic world. You then have your research proposal, which is a plan of attack. So the kinds of studies that you might do, as in quantitative versus qualitative, experimental, programming things, working with particular data sets and so on. You then have a section which is your motivation. So why are you doing this? And that's back to the question I was saying when we're thinking about a question. Is your question interesting or important? Interesting in the sense that other people are engaged with it, academics, or there's a question out in the field, or it's important in that you actually might bring about real meaningful change to the world at large. And the knowledge exchange, if you like, is the sort of the extrinsic version of that, which is it's interesting or important to some already identified external bodies. That might be a games company, it might be a charity that does behavior change, it could be a studio developing a particular AI algorithm or whatever it is. So, but somebody out there is interested in your work because of what it can do for them. And that can therefore make it important. So you need to be quite concrete there. And you've got to think carefully when you are doing the knowledge exchange, just saying it'll be of interest to the games industry. Actually, the games industry is incredibly broad and complicated, and I doubt any of us will ever do anything of interest to the whole games industry. Who is interested in your work, and why would that be? Throughout all your proposal as well, be clear. Don't go for the fancy words. Don't go for the complicated sentence structures. Just try and get your ideas across as clearly as possible. If you've engaged well with your supervisor, you should have faith that your idea is a good idea. And so really, it's just about you communicating it clearly so it comes through to others who will read the proposal.
Yeah, so because I change like a lot of topics, I also change a lot of idea. And all the time that I thought it was like I have a kind of like clear idea in mind, I was trying to fill the proposal structure that you find on the site with bullet points. Because if there was like some area, for example, the motivation knowledge exchange that I could not fit, then I mean that was like actually not such a like strong idea. So I was like, try, and sometimes I was writing and threw it away. And it was like still okay for me because, you know, like I need to make a proposal that is good, not just that I get affectionate, because it's really easy to get affectionate to your own idea. I revised the narrative many times to make scenes, to make sure that was current. At the end, I chose something that was represented me. So something that was like feeling, it was like coherent and like it was also feel like good enough to defend it. Because of course, if you adopt like an idea of your supervisor, then when somebody asks you some question a little bit more in depth, you might not be able to motivate why you choose that. So it was really important for me to incorporate every feedback Paul was giving me, but choose something that was really like feeling my work. And I give myself deadline. So even Paul was saying she's not writing for a month, I had like the deadline in 1 month maximum, I will write to him, or like in 2 weeks, like in 2 or 3 weeks in advance, I will give to Paul to revise. And you will never feel ready. So I was like keeping revising. But I was like still sending and like keep my deadline straight, because it was like, otherwise if you receive like too little in advance, that is like not a good sign for like a PhD student. Next one. Yeah, so I try to incorporate as much detail as I could. So example of game, I will use it, kind of like a type of experiment application I will do. For example, Paul was giving me more specific detail on how to specify the Gantt chart. So I was like really going for like all the detail possible to demonstrate that was not something doing in a rush. I don't speak really well English, and I brought even worse. So I revised the language so many times, and like every structure, every small word, I was like, is that good enough? Is that clear enough? I was like checking the punctuation and like every reference, was making sure that they all was referenced the same way, and even like make read some to a friend of mine that was doing a PhD in completely other area. And I was like, is it clear for you? Should I put more clear? I was trying to, as Paul say, not put complicated word, but make sure that my process was going through really clear and transparent as much as possible. And I had to pledge myself to stop, because even the last day I was revising and I set up, but I was like, oh, no, I need to submit now. But it's really, really important to not stop when you have like a good idea and everything write down, but like look at the detail to make sure that you know that you didn't just write a general application for whatever and then submit to Iggy. Like this one was like made for Iggy, and I took like my 6 months just to apply here. It was not my plan B.
Okay.
Yeah, so I guess everything went well because I'm here, but we still felt that was like not completely perfect. So that is not necessarily what is going to happen, but it might happen that you might still change your idea or like change your topic after. So in my case, we changed quite earlier because we realized that it was not so focused to start with like some experiments. So I had to read more literature, and we changed a lot of like other topics in the coming month. And then we find our new topic that now is like getting stuck. So I'm stuck on the topic, and I think me and Paul, we are pretty happy with it. We have a lot of fun. And I especially now like when I have an idea that Paul will not like immediately, because I'm like, here is something interest, here is going to be bother. And so, yeah, it's also changed like the relationship that I have with Paul now.
Yeah. Okay, great. I think that's the end of us. So thank you very much, Fra. Are there any questions? I shall go to the page. So can multiple proposals be submitted with a different supervisor? You should submit one application. So it should, you know, so you could be working with a couple of supervisors up front. So you might have to, you know, you're basically going through the process that Fra's talking about with one or two other people. Which is fine, but I think you need to be clear with both supervisors, because at some point you're going to have to choose and submit only one application and one proposal. So you need to tell the other one, actually, I'm going with the other person, not you, and just be very fair about it, be very reasonable. You know, if they've invested a lot of time and effort into you, you might need to give them more than just kind of, well, I've decided the other person's better. That could be a bit hurtful. So just be very honest, be very clear, and probably sooner rather than later choose to go with one supervisor rather than the other. Okay. And in the end, you will have to submit just one proposal to work with one supervisor. Iggy Peach, thank you for typing, Tracy. Iggy Peach, the proposal example. Yes, there are lots of different standards used for citations. If you come from the psychology background, you might use APA. If you come from a computer science background, you might use IEEE. ACM CHI uses a slightly different one from both of those, and so on. The general view on references is not that there needs to be a particular format of the references. Use a format and stick with it, whatever that might be. Okay, because we recognize you're all from different disciplines and we'll have different traditions. And it's really easy to try and think, oh, well, I'll just do, I don't know, APA, and you get it wrong. And it looks wrong and it's very jarring. Whereas if you're using something you are familiar with, you'll get it right and it will look fine. But remember, the whole point of having reference formats is just so it's very clear and easy to read what you have read. And there's nothing more than that. Okay. How detailed do I need to be with my proposal? I think you need to get the sense of it's not necessarily that it's detailed, but it's nuanced. In other words, that it isn't just I'm going to solve the games industry's problems. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. Obviously, that's not what you're going to say, but it's going to have some sort of depth to it. Whereas this is an interesting question. It engages with the literature here and has some depth to it. But in 2 pages, if you've got 50 references to explain your research idea. Arguably, you've gone into far too much detail. But at the same time, if you stay at a kind of high level, you don't necessarily show us what's interesting and important about your idea, and therefore whether or not you're ready and able to do it. So I think you'll find that if you are working with a supervisor to develop your application, this will naturally come out. I don't think you need to worry too much about getting the level right, provided you're properly engaged in the proposal development process. Okay. Good. Any other questions if people want to drop into the chat, either for me or for Fra? That's a question coming in on the document. You can come on the mic if you want to, if it's easier.
So sorry.
It's all right.
My question was, what if the supervisor it has this because they are talking to many potential PhD students, probably they have their favorites, but then they've not communicated to me that they, my proposal is weaker or would not make maybe it has some things lacking and might not make it through.
I don't think there's any supervisor who would let you go sort of submit and say your proposal's fine if it's not fine. I think they'll kind of say, well, there's weaknesses here and there, or maybe you could be doing this better, or look at changing that. So it is true. Typically, I'm approached, well, actually, I could be approached by a lot of people in the course of a year. But when it comes up to the round, there's maybe 3 or 4 people who are really heavily engaged with me. I will try to be honest about I will at some point say to people, I can't take any more. You're interested, but I'm already talked to 3 or 4 others. But it is fair for supervisors. We know Iggy's competitive and not everybody will get in. So it's actually quite reasonable for us to be working with 2 or 3 on the hope that actually you're all plausibly will get in, but because it's a competitive process, you may not get through to the final selection. I think supervisors are sensible. They don't waste their time trying to produce, 20 proposals with 20 different students. They're probably working with 1, 2, or 3. And that's, hopefully you'll get plenty of support and you're going forward to produce your best proposal. I certainly wouldn't work with a student to produce something not quite as good as some other student. I'm hoping all of you would be potentially appointable. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, in which case I think we're done for now. So thank you for offering doing the double act. I landed this on her on Wednesday of last week, so so you've done very well. Thank you very much for joining in. Suzanne, I think we're breaking for lunch.